In Psalms 37, the psalmist talks to us, and I'll be brief with this, as brief as I can. The writers, scholars that I read after, Clark and Matthew Henry and several of those like that, I learn a lot from that because I need the background and I have to go to them to get it. I'm not that smart, so I have to have some help. And in this Psalm 37, it's a well-known psalm, in two verses there, the psalmist talks to us about some things that a lot of people have trouble with. And a lot of people does have trouble with those two verses. Or not with those two verses, but what those two verses say. Now, listen in verses 1, Psalms 37. I'm reading the King James. You may be reading another Bible, but I'm reading the King James. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now get that word, evildoers. Neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, the scholars tell us that David had been out there. He'd been in the battles. He'd been in the fields. He'd been out there where it was all at. And so now he's come back to the temple, come back to the people, and began to share with the people these things. And so he says, don't let this bother you. A lot of this bothers people. These verses bother people, what's in these verses. And he says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. The evildoers, these people that are doing those kinds of things that he's talking about here, don't let this bother you. Don't let this get to you. Don't let this disturb you. Back in 65, I started in the ministry. And back, there were still a lot of things going on. We started at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Services started at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. So far back, you don't remember that. But we did. If that sun didn't go down, there would be no people in that church. When that sun went down, those lights got coming into the parking. And we had a good crowd on Sunday night. But it was 8 o'clock. I had to go to work at 12. That was nice. I know that our guys today are saying this home study course is so bad, so hard, and all that. Well, buddy, it was hard then. I don't know that it's any harder today than it was then. It just has a lot to do with whether you mean to do it or not. Where you put your mind into doing it or not. W.P. Smithson told me, and you had him here as your pastor. Of course, that's been so long ago, most of you don't remember him. But W.P. Smithson was a good friend of mine. He told me up there at the Allenwood Restaurant, there at that motel at East in Louisville, one night we was having a zone meeting. He told me, he said, now it's up to you. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I've taken 18 years. That's not good. That's what he told me. Now he said, if you want to keep meeting them boards every year and every year and every year, he said, that's up to you. But if you don't want to keep meeting them boards, he said, you've got to get in there and you've got to get busy and go at it. And I started pastoring in 65 and was ordained in 68. Worked at a shift from 12 to 8 at the textile mill in Louisville. You say, you're bragging. I don't know what you call it, but if you want to call it that, okay. But I put my mind to it and said, I'm going to do it. And so David is saying here, put your mind to it. Don't let this disturb you. Don't let this get to you. What David is trying to bring out to us here is that we must make God our hope in this world. Now that's not my saying, I picked it up from somebody else. We must make God our hope in this world, not these things that go on, the evildoers and the workers of iniquity. We got to get away from all that. And he says, one of the writers said, we must make God our hope in this world. And the quicker you and I make up our mind that we're going with God, the easier it's going to get. The easier it's going to get. If every time a little something flies up and comes at you, well, if it keeps on getting like this, I think I'm going to quit. The devil likes to hear that. Because he's going to make it harder and harder and harder. But like Mama used to say, I put my foot down, son, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I did. I did. I done what she said to do. And you're going to have to put your foot down. It don't matter who you are and what you are. You're going to have to say, I am going with God, come rain or shine, come sleet or snow. It don't matter what comes. I'm going with God. And when you do that, then David said, don't let these things bother you. Now in verses 2 or verses 3, now he gives us something here. And the four words here, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He gives you somebody to trust in. And God has not failed a one of us. Not failed a one of us. He's been there. He's been there. Now there's three words here that we need to take note of. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now we've got to do good if we're going to get God to help us. A lot of people want to take those four words and say, I'm trusting in the Lord, but then they drop the other three words and you can't do that. And the psalmist is bringing that out to us. You got to do good. In other words, when you go with God, you got to go with God God's way. You got to figure out what God wants you to do, not what He wants me to do or him to do or her to do. You got to figure out what God wants you to do, and then you got to take that path. And when you do that, you'll find a peace that will come in you, a peace that passes all understanding that you've ever thought of. I remember the time when I put my feet down and said to the devil and everything around me, I'm going with God. I'm going with Him. And that was along back there in that time when I was working from 12 to 8 and doing that study, of course, to get ordained. That was back in then. You don't wait. You don't wait. You go ahead and do it. You can do it tonight. Well, the devil's been riding me. Well, tell him to get off of you. You're not a saddle horse. You're not a saddle horse. Get it, throw him off of you. What did Jesus say to Peter when he come to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. See, he's going to stay up front as long as we allow him to, but when we put our trust in God and we begin to do the good that God wants us to do, then God's going to come to our rescue. He's going to come. I've seen it. I'm preaching to you now what I've lived over these last 45 years. I done got old enough now I don't have to really go back to the commentaries all that much and hunt stuff and all. I've lived this stuff. I know what God will do for you. I know where He'll bring you from. I know how He'll bring you through. And He said if you'll trust in Him and do good. Now, don't leave that off. You got to do good. You got to do good. Then he went on a little farther here. He says, so shall I dwell in the land. Now, he was talking to the people of Israel, but it's relating to us too. It's relating to us. The Bible is written for you and me tonight. It's written to help us. If God helped him, he'll help you. And he helped him. He brought him through. He'll bring me and you through. He'll carry us through. He'll carry us right on through now. If we'll allow him to do it. We trust in the Lord and do good, he says. Now, and then it is promised that we shall be well provided for in this world. Well, I don't have $1 million. He didn't promise you $1 million. He just said, I'll take care of you. If you had $1 million, you probably wouldn't be in this church tonight. You'd be out trying to find somewhere to spend it or having a party for somebody because you had the money to have a party for. And that's why God keeps some of us poor. We don't know how to handle what He could give us. Have you ever noticed people when they began to prosper and they began to get rich, get money, they'll go out and go to buying all kinds of things. They'll go to laying out of church and all that. You ever notice that? See, if God's going to help you, you're going to have to stay in there where He wants you. In other words, you're going to if you come into all that kind of stuff, you're going to have to not let it get you. You're going to have to stay a hold of it. And David said, we've got to trust in the Lord. I don't know where I ever told you this or not, but I had a family one time in church. It was a good family. Had a boy and two girls. Nice family. I went out to the home one Sunday afternoon and I said to them, I noticed you hadn't been in church lately. They had just bought a new double wide, bought a new car. I said, I just noticed you hadn't been in church. They said, well, since we bought this double wide and bought that new car, said, we don't have money to pay our tithe. Don't ever get to the place to where you let something come in the way of causing you not to be able to pay your tithes. I'm meddling a little bit, I know that. But that's one of the first lessons I learned is when you get your check cash, put your tithes in an envelope and it'll be there. I get a little check from the church down yonder and I pay my tithes back into that church. Because they give it to me, but Mary pays our tithes off for our retirement into this church. And when I get my check cash, I take that money and stick it in an envelope, stick it in my Bible, it's ready to go. If I die between now and then, Mary knows this money goes to St. Mark. And I went in the home of that family and I said, well, they said, well, since we got this double wide and got this new car, we're not able to do that. I said, may I have prayer with y'all? You don't believe I do that, do you? I'll pray with you. I got right down at their couch and I prayed a prayer similar to this. Lord, brother and sister so-and-so tells me since they got this new car and this double wide and all, you prospered them, you blessed them, they're not able to come to church. And they're not coming to church if they can't pay their tithes. I said, Lord, I'm just a simple little old preacher. I said, would you just take this double wide away from them and this car away from them and give them back that old trailer and that old car to where they could pay their tithes? You say, you prayed that in front of them? I sure did. We need that. We need it done. And you know what? It's church started at 7 o'clock then. They had moved from 8 to 7. I'm glad to move from 7 to 6. I wouldn't care if they moved from 6 to 5. And Scott Baptist, I preached over a few times, and they have Sunday evening service on at 5 o'clock. So I prayed for them, and I said, well, I'll leave y'all now. And neither one of them said a word. I guess they was glad that I was leaving. They had enough of me. But at 7 o'clock that night, they came by me in the aisle in the church. And that man told me, he said, I went back in everything that I thought they may be, a penny, a dime, or a dollar. And he said, I searched it until I got my tithes, and I'm putting my tithes in this church tonight. Trust in the Lord and do good. I had to trust in Him and do good to get Him to bring them through like that. So, Pastor, I'm not saying you can try that. Do that. I'm just saying God's looked over my ignorance many times. Yes, He has. He said that, you know, somebody said the Lord looks after fools and drunks. So He's looked after me many times. And I'm not a drunk, so I must be a fool. But He's looked after me. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall thy dwell in the land, and verily shall thy be fed. He's promised He'll take care of us. My daddy used to say that God's never promised us no more than bread and water. Now stop and think about that. Now he was from way back under. When you went somewhere, you walked a foot log. Brother Eason, I've heard him talk about walking foot logs. I've heard him talk about hoboing the train from Savannah to Dublin to get to Mount Olive to preach. You ever heard that, Clint? Yes. Wow. Hoboing? Yeah, didn't have money to pay to ride. But he wanted to come, wanted to preach, and he'd get down there, and they didn't have no money. It was all farmers. They wasn't nothing coming in. But when it come in, now if you could have carried turnips and things like that back with you, you'd have got plenty of them. What are you saying? I'm saying He said He'd feed us, He'd take care of us, He'd look after us. I want to say this right here now. We should be thankful for our forefathers and foremothers and our people that walked before us that we can sit here tonight in this air-conditioned building, these cushioned pews and carpeted floors. We should pray often and thank God You brought us from there to here. You remember old St. Paul when they wasn't nothing but old pot-bellied stove in the middle. And the air conditioners was in every window. You remember that? Air conditioners in every window. You opened them, and if the wind blowed, you got a little. If it didn't, you just sweated down. And you ain't talking about a 30-minute service. You ain't talking about an hour service. You're talking about Raleigh Johnson preaching until he got through. God's looked after us. We are blessed people tonight. I am a blessed man tonight. I never dreamed that I would be living in a home like I'm living in and driving a car like I'm driving and a truck like I'm driving and having all the things that I've got tonight. Some of you don't remember where we come from. I remember how I had to ride a mule to go where I wanted to go. Now, how would you like to ride a mule to go where you want to go? We went up in the mountains last week, and up there where we was at, they was riding horses up there. That is just a pile of horses out there. Well, not a pile. They was all on their feet moving around. It wasn't piled up. I don't want you to get me on that. Some of you are smart, and you'd grab that one. But they was riding. Just riding all over the place up in there. Because that's what it was a count where we was at, but we was at a breakfast and bread place, wasn't we? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, that's a real scripture there. Now you look at it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now that's not all he says. But I must be delighted in the Lord. I must want God to be my God. I must want that. And then he said he would give us the desire of our heart. Now, I'm going to flip over a little ways here. And I'm not going to try to bring you all of it, but I've got something here I wanted to share with you. What's the desire of our heart? What should be the desire of our heart? That's an important part of what we do day by day. All right. What is the desire of the heart of a good man? What is that desire? It is this: to know and to love and to live for God, to please Him and be pleased in Him. That's the desire of a good man, a good heart. And then one writer laid it out this way. He said that, and I've heard this made, a statement made many different ways, but he said, roll thy way upon the Lord. Roll thy way upon the Lord. I have mentioned this book many times, and I'll mention it many other times. And that book was titled, What Would Jesus Do? Wonderful book. What Would Jesus Do? I must learn, and you must learn, and I have learned that every day when you get up, and more so now, I get up and when I see I'm sitting up on the edge of the bed, I don't say it out loud because I'd wake Mary up, and Lord, I don't want to do that. But I say within myself, sorry, Robert, praise the Lord. I've been able to set up my feet on the floor. See, I'm 71 now. I'm 71. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I hope I live long enough. I'll live long enough. Whatever it'll be long enough. But I'm thankful now. And I roll everything of the day on Him. Lay it at His feet. I may not do hardly anything because there's times when my motor won't crank. There's times it takes it 2 or 3 hours to crank up. There's times it don't even budge all day long. But I want to thank God that I'm able to get up, move around. Get up, move around. And I do. I get out to my truck and I get on that steering wheel. I say, Lord, protect me today. You don't have to pray a long prayer. Lord, protect me today. Help me today, Lord. See, it's not the long prayers that God always hears. No way. It's many times it's that little short prayer that God hears. And He said He'll give you the desire of your heart. What is the desire of my heart? I want to please God. I want to satisfy God. I want, when I walk into that pearly gates, I want God to say, Son, you have listened to me well, and I am well pleased with you. I don't want him to have to begin to hint around and joke around or anything like I do so many times. Son, you've done well. All of us need that. We all need it. I heard one of our general superintendents say this, and that was down in, I believe it was the East Side Church in Savannah years ago, to be careful with our people that they just might stumble into the kingdom of God. That's closed. I don't want to be that way. When God gets ready to call me home, I want to be ready to get on that whatever that ship or whatever that wagon or whatever that train is or in that wheelbarrow or whatever He comes after me in. I don't care if it's a bicycle or a tricycle. I want to get on that and I want to paddle that thing into the gates of heaven and say, Lord, I'm here now. Where You want me at? I want to be what He wants me to be. And I'm trying to do it every day. Even, I know I kid and I cut up a lot, but I believe God's a God of humor. I believe God likes to laugh once in a while. You know. I've seen people, Lord, if they ever smile, it would crack their lips or crack their face. I don't want to be that way. I tell a joke once in a while. They didn't tell one tonight, but I looked. I looked as I came in. Nobody gave me a hint. See, I like to tell it on you. I like to tell the joke on you. And I listened, and I didn't hear it. But the other night, boy, I heard that and good, and I told that. I got some more, and I'm watching. I'm watching. I'm going to get one. I'm going to get you after a while. But I want it to be right. See, if a peach ain't ripe, it ain't good. And if you don't get a joke ripe and tell it, it ain't good. I want it to be good when I tell it. There's one, and I know I'm meddling around here, but I hope you're glad you come to church tonight. Jerry and Becky's heard me tell it. Years and years ago. But I'm going to get it on somebody here. And I tell you what, we had a mess that morning. I think y'all were there in Wrightsville. And we had a mess that morning. Nobody didn't get mad about the joke. It was just what the joke brought on. I told it on Buford Wilson and Josephine Wilson. Wow, they are timid. They don't say much. I got a couple of them thinking about using for that. But here it all is, folks. We're a family. We're a family of God. And I believe when we get to heaven, I believe that God is going to laugh with us. I believe Jesus is going to laugh with us. I believe He's going to remember some of the things that, let me use this word, stupid things I've done. And He's going to sit down and He's going to laugh till He hurts when He tells me about them. And I'll remember them. See, I believe our God is a joyful God because He tells me He wants me to be filled with joy. And I can't be filled with joy and be sour at the same time. My wife's put up some sour pickles and some sweet pickles. I like the sweet pickles a lot better than I do the sour ones. David said here, trust in God. He'll give you the desire of your heart. What is it? Just to walk with God, to please God, to be what God wants me to be. That's what it is. Now, I've got... Rod, I'm going to give you a break. Robert, is it time for me to quit? Oh, he just said, go ahead if you want to. So, all right, I'm through. Let's stand together. Eternal Father, thank You. Thank you, Lord, for us being able to come together. And Lord, we've laughed a little and we've enjoyed ourselves together. But down at Mount Olive tonight, Lord, they're sending one off that they've had with them many years. Their hearts are heavy. But thank you that we've had been able to laugh here tonight. And the day will come when we'll have to sit in here and won't be able to laugh like we did tonight. And then, Lord, Monday morning when we go yonder with Brother Danny and sit with him out there at that hospital, Lord, we won't be able to laugh because we'll be waiting anxiously to hear what the doctors are going to say about his wife. So let us enjoy ourselves when we can, Lord. Let us have a good time when we can, Lord. And then there's out there tonight, Lord, and I forgot to mention it, W.H. Smith from the Wrightsville Church with blood clots in the intensive care. Nadine's not laughing tonight. Shirley's not. Linda's not, because Daddy's there in that hospital. But thank you for us being able to laugh some here and enjoy ourselves together in the Lord and in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.